It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. All right. Well, you know, 8:30 is by design kind of a teaching time. Began when Dave started going down that born again trail, teaching us about who we are. But you know, I'm not as much a teacher as some of the gentlemen that fill the pulpit, so I'm just going to do what I do and let them do what they do and let God do what He does, and we're going to follow the Holy Ghost. Amen? So, Father, we just thank You for this opportunity today, Lord God. To the best of my ability, Father, I just yield myself over to You, and I ask You, have Your way in this place today. Holy Spirit, we invite You. You are our teacher. You are our helper. You are our comforter. And we need You. So today, Father, I pray that the words that I speak would not be my words. The words that we hear today, Lord, let them not be my words. But Father, may we receive from that everlasting, life-giving Word from You this morning, Lord God. May You touch us by Your Spirit. May we be ever changed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know most people in here, you know who I am. I'm going to take just a quick minute to give a little bit of history. My name's Hans. Doug is my brother. Y'all probably know him. My wife's here today, Teresa. And praise God. Amen. And together we have 5 children. Teresa had an older son from a previous marriage. That's part of her testimony. I'll let her say that someday. And then together, then we've had 4 children in our marriage. And just before we were married, I began to come here to this church, or I shouldn't say I came here, but I was invited to come here by my brother Doug just when they had all-day prayer. And I didn't know anything about, really didn't know the prayer center was here. Doug had slipped me a tape from Pastor Dave, and I was cleaning a building. I was going to school at Spartan and cleaning buildings in the evening. And as I was vacuuming the floor, I'm listening to Dave talk to me about praying in tongues. So I'm just vacuuming, doing my job, praying in other tongues. There's nobody else in the building. The vacuum cleaner's going. Nobody can hear me anyway. So I could just vacuum along. Well, I didn't know it, but at the end of the one day, for some reason, I'd listen to that tape over and over and over again. And one day I heard the very end where it had the mailing address. And I said, this is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm in Tulsa. And anyway, Doug invited me to come out here. And we began this journey into prayer. Came here on Saturday. Spent the day here for the first time ever in my life. I prayed in other tongues for hours. I was interested in tongues. I'd pray in tongues for times, like I said, when I'm working and things like that. But to actually purposely set aside that time just to pray was amazing. Fell asleep a few times, but you know, I prayed. And God began to do a work because, you know, I was pretty messed up. Just a really young man, maybe 20, 19, 20 years old, just moved out here on my own, go to school. And I had so much fear and so many strongholds in my life. I remember, like, authority was a big deal to me. I didn't really know how to talk to people who were in the authority. I wanted to talk to a pastor, but I didn't know how to, and I was kind of afraid to. And I remember sitting right over there in the corner on the floor with another young man, and I said, God, I'd love to talk to Pastor Dave if that was possible. Dave walked in the back door and he walked right over to where we were sitting. And he said, are you Rhema students? No. Why would someone come here at your age, just give themselves to prayer? This is amazing. And he sat and he talked to me for probably 5 or 10 minutes. And God began to show me that he's my father. And that there's people in the body I could trust. And he began to develop a relationship in me that I never knew I could have. Because see, the one thing that drew me to Dave Roberson, although I knew the miracles and all of those things were wonderful, at the end of that tape, when Dave would begin to minister, he'd hear the Holy Ghost speak to him and he would say, I see this or I see that. I see this person. I see these things happening. And he would say, what was that again? And I'm going, who is he talking to? I never knew you could talk to the Holy Ghost like that. I never knew that he would speak to you in such a way. Grew up in a Christian home. I knew God. I had good parents. Went to church my whole life, but didn't know I could talk to God and he talked to me. Didn't realize that. And I'll say all of that just to say this place has such a purposeful place in my heart. Saved. When I say it saved my life, I mean that with my whole heart. I'm not being dramatic. I'm being serious that it changed me. It saved my life. I had lived a life, yes, I was a Christian. Yes, I knew God, but I didn't know how to get out of the junk that I was in. As a young man, I strayed away from the things of God, not because of any reason other than I didn't know who I was. I wanted to be somebody and I wanted to be a part of something. And I began to do the things that were not of God just so I could be accepted by someone, because I didn't know I was accepted by my Father. Didn't know who I was. But this message, it changed my life. I wasn't going to go into all of this, but just take a couple more minutes. I remember the first time ever that I stood in a line where Pastor Dave was giving out personal words to people. Again, I was pretty new to those types of things of God. Was in a good home, but you know, my parents did what they knew to do, but they didn't know anything about that kind of stuff. We didn't know anything about that kind of stuff. Heard about it, seen it a few times. But I stood in that line, and that time here I was. I wasn't married yet. We had a little boy out of wedlock. I was riddled with guilt. Didn't know where I belonged. And Pastor Dave stood in front of me, and he said, difficulties. 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 Difficulties arranged and taken care of to the point that you're going to be able to go where you want to go. And that word was so needed in my life at that time. Because see, I knew I had a call of God in my life. I knew he'd called me to preach, but how could I do anything? My life being such a mess. All I could see is where I was. Couldn't see where I was going. Couldn't see what to do next. But that word from God settled me, and I was able to continue in prayer. And eventually my wife and I, we made this our home, and we stayed here for many years. That was in 1996 when we were married. We continued here. And the first thing I did, I came to this place and I said, what can I do? How can I get involved? And I began to work in the outreach ministry, vacuum the floor, set up the tables, drive the bus. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. But really, the most important thing is when Pastor Dave would say, hang your prophet hat at the door. Epoxy your britches to the chair and pray. Sometimes he'd have to beat me back into prayer. And he'd do it. get so involved in ministry and doing things for God that you forget to spend time with Him. Forget what this whole thing's about. Praise God. All right, enough of that. Now you'll know who I am a little bit. I started preaching. Well, I preached for the first time. I wouldn't say I really started preaching, but I preached for the first time in 1995. First time I spoke in front of any people. You know, when you have a call to preach, it seems like you're preaching all the time. I'd preach while I'm driving down the road. Preach when nobody listening to me. I'd be preaching. But the first time I preached in front of an audience was in 1995. And you know, I can't remember a time when I was nervous to stand before the people. And that's an amazing thing, because when I was younger, as a teenager, I used to play the trumpet, and my mom would make me play the trumpet in church. She would make me, if you had any kind of talent or any ability, my mom was going to make you do it. If you learn how to play the piano, you're going to play the piano in church, you know. She wanted to encourage us. And so I remember one time I got up to play the trumpet, and my hands were shaking so badly, could hardly make out what I was playing. So nervous, and after I was done, I ran out the back door and I threw up. Just couldn't stand it. Didn't know how to stand before people, but I don't know what happened. Just know once I knew I was called of God, no, it didn't matter anymore. I didn't have to be. It's not that, obviously you have to be prepared, but what I mean is somehow God just allowed me to rely on Him. I learned how to trust Him, and He would show up. He'd give me the words to say, and I'm like, this is amazing, you know? Stand up to preach, didn't even know what I was going to preach. Started preaching about the love of God. Just absolutely came out of me. I thought, that's amazing. The things that I spent time meditating on, praying, reading, it came out of me. Hallelujah. So anyway, I say all that because this morning I'm a little nervous. I don't mean nervous like that. Over the years, God's used me in certain giftings and certain ways. And I remember yesterday as I was coming up to the church to pray, I had that familiar nervousness that would come over me. Like a nervous anticipation and excitement. Usually when something like that for me, God wants to use me in the prophetic. Because I'm going to be honest with you, when you begin, if you're really prophesying from the heart of God and from the mind of God, it can be a little nerve-wracking. You don't always know what you're going to say or how people are going to hear it, or what's the result might be. But when we trust Him, He's able to bring about change. Today, I believe God has a word for this church. It's nothing that you probably don't already know, and if it was something you don't know, I probably don't need to be saying it. That's just the truth. Somebody's got a word for you. It ought to be something that you already know. It ought to be something that bears witness with your spirit. This comes from the scripture this morning. Hallelujah. Turn to the book of Haggai chapter 2. Yeah, that's where the pages stick together back there. One of the minor prophets, Haggai. Except for my pages, I use an iPad, so hallelujah. Haggai chapter 2, starting in verse 2, it says, "Speak now." This is the prophet Haggai. "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel." If I don't pronounce these right, you just have to get over it. "Governor of Judah." and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, I believe that what I'm about to read is what the Lord is saying to us today. In this house, in this body, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory, and how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as it is as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Verse 4. He said, yet now be strong. Say it this way. Be strong, O prayer center. Be strong, leadership. Be strong, all the people. And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. We've been on a journey for a long time now. But we have a word. We have a covenant with God. We have a vision and we have a mission. We have something to accomplish in this house, in this place. And it doesn't matter what anyone has said. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. It doesn't matter what your mind has told you. It doesn't matter what the flesh would say. The Lord God Almighty says, fear not, I am with you. And he says, work. What's the work that we're to do? You know, I thought a lot of places have a slogan or a, you know, little word that they say about themselves. Nike says, just do it. I think if we had a slogan, it's just me, it'd be do the message. Do the message. What's the work that we have to do? Well, we have the work. We have the message. We have the foundation. We know the things that we are to do. But I believe that over time, sometimes the message can become mundane. It can become a religious ritual that we perform. And you know, it's never meant to be that way. Pastor Dave has laid out something for us that is foolproof and absolutely will succeed. And really, Dave didn't lay it out. The Word of God laid it out for us. The Holy Spirit himself has come to live within us and to help us and to be our guide, our helper, everything that we need. He's there for us. And just in case you didn't know what to do, didn't know how to pray, he even created a language for you that you can do and that'll help you. But I believe one of the things that we need as we work is that we must remember that this is done not by our hands. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. And that we must learn, learn's probably the wrong word. We must remember to walk by the Spirit and not by the natural man. And see, some of those things that we've learned, Dave has taught us, Others have taught us. The Word of God has taught us. But then yet there's still some things not that we can't learn from man. Things that I can't teach you, that Gary can't teach you, that Dave can't teach you. And that you're going to have to learn from the Holy Ghost. And part of walking in the Spirit is simply practicing that time with Him. Practicing yielding yourself over to the Holy Ghost. And we all know that what's one way that you can yield yourself to the Holy Ghost? Praying in other tongues. We spend that time and we know that. Yet, Gary said something not too long ago. He says, how long has it been since you spent 7 hours praying in the Holy Ghost? I'm not asking you to answer it, but I didn't like the answer that I came up with when he asked that question. It's been a while. It's been a while. We still have work to do. And I shared this the other day that, you know, for me right now in my life is a time of transition. There's a lot of things happening. And just for clarity, I'll explain what it is so that you understand where I'm coming from. I work a regular job, a secular job, you know, a 9-to-5 workplace that I've pretty much done my whole life. And on this job, right now, I've taken it on a new position, and they're going to be sending me to training. Well, I've done this for 20 years plus, but still I have to be trained in order to do things the way they want it done. The training, I have to go away. So when I started hearing those things, I have to go somewhere. So no, I don't know when, don't know where, don't know for how long, don't know what I'm going to learn. But I know that it's going to happen. Then after a little while, I got a message that I'm going to be going to Dallas. Okay, well, now at least I know where I'm going. Not even sure how I'm going to get there. Don't know when it's going to begin. Don't know how long I'm going to be there. Don't know what I'm going to learn. And see, I'm saying all of that to say, I believe that, honestly, we're always in a time of transition. The Bible says that we're being changed from one degree of glory to another. He's changing us from glory to glory. And in those times, sometimes it's easy to get a little razzled, get uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable. And it's easy to get stressed out and to wonder, how is this going to work, and how am I going to get there, and what am I going to learn, and what am I going to do, and how are all the details going to work out at home, and all of those things can come to mind. And the same thing happens when God is transitioning us and changing us from one place of glory to another place of glory. And I believe right now in the prayer center, God is taking us from where we are to the next place that He has for us. And just as we know, when there's a new level, there's a new devil, and there's things that we have to overcome, and there's a work that we have to do. But in order for us to go where He's called us to go and to do what He's called us to do, we're going to have to do the message. We're going to have to grab a hold of the things that God has given us, the foundation that He has for us. If we will hold fast to that and stand and work, we'll see success. We will have peace. There will be peace in this house. There will be peace in your house. For me, even though there's transition taking place, I can stand in peace doing the work that God has given me, walking in the place of the Spirit rather than in the natural, trusting, giving everything over to Him. In Romans 8, let me say it like this. It's easy to try to fix things in the flesh, especially when you're in the middle of transition, especially when you're in the midst of change. It's easy to grab a hold of something and say, this must be what I need to do, because it's not moving. You know, everything around us is moving and transitioning and taking us from one place to another. And so we looked at something we can hold on to, and we said, this must be it. I'm going to do this. But God's wanting us to let go of everything that can help us in the natural, everything that we know to do, and hold on to the supernatural, to the impossible. Because the only way we go where God has us go is in the impossible. When we look at those in the Bible who went through the transition, we see Joseph, who had a vision from God and knew where he was going. His vision is he's going to rule, and yet the transition takes him to a pit. Oftentimes when we're on the path, we're on the journey to where we're going, we don't end up where we are, or we find ourselves in places where it seems impossible. Seems like there's no way out of this. Abraham had a promise that he'd have a son, but it wasn't until he got to the place where he could no longer accomplish it. And in the natural, there was nothing more for him to do. He was dead. And impossible that God was able to bring to pass the promise. So I believe that we have to put to death those things that want to hold on to things that are comfortable, things that are natural and possible, things of the flesh, so that we can work the work that God has for us. Romans 8:13, it says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." So for us to enter into the next place of glory, as he's changing us from glory to glory, if we're going to put to death the things of our flesh and the things that we're holding on to, the only way it's going to be done is by the Spirit. Flesh cannot eradicate flesh. We can work hard to say, "I'm not going to do this," or "I'm not going to do that," only to end up doing it. But when we yield ourselves over to the Holy Ghost, when we allow the new nature that's within us to rise up, and we put our confidence in that, then we say, "Lord, you're in charge. I release it unto you. I let go of it. Any hold that I have on this place, Lord, I let go of it. Any man-made ideas, any things that have come from my flesh, from my ideas, from the things that I wanted from this place, Lord, I let go of it. I say, have your way. Do what you want to." There's a calling on my life to the nations of Africa. And I know some people are like, "Oh, there's another one called Africa." That's kind of what I think sometimes when people tell me they're called to Africa. But I'm talking about, as surely as I've been born again, God's called me to the nations of Africa. And yet here I stand before you in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And see, this is something that God told me many years ago. So I could say my whole life, or my whole adult life anyway, is kind of like a transition. I'm going, "God, you said..." Here I'm in Tulsa. I'm in Guthrie. I'm in Florida. I'm everywhere but where you said I would be. But you see, and it bothered me for a long time, and there were times when I'd make no commitments. I wouldn't plug into anything because I know I'm called to Africa. What can I do here? And I cried out to God. I'm like, "Why am I here? What is going on, Lord? Is this some kind of sick joke?" Because if you didn't call me, then take the desire away. But once again, he reminded me of something that Pastor David said. He said, the journey to the cross is just as sovereign as the cross itself. And I would say, God, where am I? He says, you're on the journey. And sometimes we look at a map and we see one place here and one place over there, and we see that the shortest distance is just is a straight line. But God says, no! You're not going to be equipped when you get there if you just decide you're going to jump on over. So I've got something for you along the way. Sometimes he's got something for someone else. You know, it's not all about you. And you know, the truth is, God doesn't really care what your opinion is. He's not interested in your opinion. He's not interested in how you feel about it. He's not interested. Now, when I say that, he loves you beyond any capacity of love that we could have. And he lavishes his care on you. But like a good parent, he doesn't really take you seriously. Got to be a parent to know what I mean. There's sometimes we think we know what's best. You know, I've seen kids now. I don't think any of my kids did this, but you know, sometimes around 6, 7, 8 years old, you pack up your little knapsack, put it over your shoulder, say, I'm out of here. I'm done listening to you, Mom and Dad. You keep telling me to clean my room. I'm done. You tell me to do my homework. Not going to do it. Not washing the dishes no more. Put that sack over your shoulder. And a good parent looks down and says, okay, well, you have everything you need. Okay. All right, well, good luck. It's going to be, you know, I'm sure you'll be fine. It's going to be kind of cold. You might want to bring your blanket. And they pat them on the back, send them out the door. Because they know that that child is going to get hungry. That child is going to be scared. He's going to know where he belongs. And so it's not that God doesn't care about your feelings. It's just that he knows where you belong. And he knows best where it is that you need to be. And for probably one of the... Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah. For the first time in my life, I can work a secular job. I can be plugged in to a church and be plugged into the work that I'm at. And I can be at peace knowing that God still is laying out the plan for me. And that I'm still on the journey and I'm still going where he's called me to be. And I'm still learning what he wants me to learn. I may not know what I need yet, but I'm going to learn something along the way. And I'm going to have everything that I need when I step foot in at the destination that God has for me. But if I begin to look at all the things I need to get there, and I start looking at everything that it's going to take to accomplish what God has laid before me, I can tell you a truth. It would be 100% impossible for me to do that. So my only hope is in Him. And see, we have a word. We have a covenant. We have a blueprint. We have a vision for this house. But not one of us, no one, can accomplish that. It's up to us to do the work that God puts in our hands to do. I was thinking about this the other day. If you think about a blueprint, I don't know how many of you have ever seen one, but I've been around construction for a good part of my life, and I installed telephones and computer networks, and sometimes the blueprint could be pages and pages and pages, and there may be more than one book of pages for that project. And there's keys on the blueprint. You have to understand the key in order to know what the blueprint says. And you might be looking at, the only blueprint I needed to see was the electrical plan so that I know where the phones go. That's the only plan that mattered to me. There might be a plan up there that's, I don't know the names of these things, but let's say there's a framing plan that tells you how to frame the walls and those things. I would look at that and I'm totally lost. I have no idea what it's even talking about. Don't know what that means. I don't understand it. It doesn't mean anything to me. But for the framer, he'll look at that and he's like, oh, there we go. Now I know what to do. I might look at it and he'll come in and say, you're looking at it upside down. I don't know. No idea. And see, God has a blueprint for this house. And for what the Bible says, unless God builds the house, them that labor, labor in vain. And God is building something in this place that is beyond anything that any one of us could understand. But He, in His infinite wisdom, has a place for you, and for you. And there's a key that you can look at the blueprint with your eyes and you can say, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. See, I could look at that blueprint, and with the knowledge that I have, I could look for the symbols that I know to look for, and I can say, there's a phone, and there's a phone, and there's a phone, and there's a phone. I don't know what that thing is, or that thing, or that square over there, or that circle with the plus in it. I have no idea what those things mean. But I can see what I need to do. I can begin to do that. And so as we do the work, we do the message, part of the message is hearing the instruction of the Lord and understanding and walking after the thing that God tells us to do. You might look at your brother and sister and think, you know, why are they doing that? But the truth is God wants us to look at ourselves and look to Him and say, what is it, Lord, that I'm to do? You might say, well, this has nothing to do with revival. What God's telling me to do. It has nothing to do with what the vision of the church is. It just doesn't, it must not be important. It must not be significant. Or maybe I'm just missing it. But I'm going to tell you, when God puts it all together, when He says, okay, I finally got it, and He closes the book, and He takes like Legos, and He says, this piece is done, bam, this piece is done, and this piece is done, and He begins to put it all together, because we bring the building materials unto Him, and He lays down the foundation, and He sets up the walls, and He puts on the roof, and He says, now come in and see what the Lord has done. And no one will be able to say, I laid that brick, because maybe all you did was mix some type of ingredient that you didn't even know what it was, and you don't even know where you fit, what your part was in the completed structure, but you know you were a part of it. And God says, I did this. I'm with you. Do not fear. Walk with me and do the work that I'm telling you to do. Don't do the work I'm telling the leadership to do. Don't do the work I'm telling your neighbor to do. Do the work that I'm giving you. Do the message and allow God to work in those practical things in your life, and allow Him to train you and to teach you and develop you and have you do what's necessary for Him to build what He's building. I know we're not supposed to watch movies, but you ever, one time through a Radio Shack window, I saw The Karate Kid. And I'm talking about the old Karate Kid. That's not that old, but anyway. You know, here's a kid who wants to learn karate. He wants to learn the art that his sensei has. He wants to bust up some faces. He's got an agenda, what he wants to do, protect himself. And the good teacher begins to say, okay, I'll teach you. Awesome, he's excited. Learn how to do karate. He says, okay, go wax the car, right? go sand the floor, paint the fence, and so on and so forth. And this kid is just worn out. Comes home, he's tired, and he's finally had enough. And he says, "Look, I didn't come here to be your servant. I'm here to learn karate." And the master teacher begins to say, "Hey, sand the floor." And shows him how that blocks his kick, and how the painting the fence does another thing, and how something else does another thing. And all of a sudden he realized all those little parts, all the little things that he was learning, all the little things he was doing, well, it didn't seem like it had anything at all to do with karate. It was disciplining him to a place where he was able to implement that in his life and see the art form come to fruition. He was able to see fruit come into his life, even though it looked like he was doing mundane tasks, things that he didn't want to do, things that didn't make sense to do, didn't have anything to do with karate. And see, I believe that God is our master teacher. The Holy Spirit is directing us. When he says, "Sweep the floor," we sweep the floor. Say, "Yeah, but I'm called to preach." Good, sweep the floor. You know? "But Dave, I'm a prophet." Good, sit in the chair and pray. Hallelujah. God's going to bring it to pass. When we get to that place where you're out there doing what God says do, he can say, "All right, sweep the floor." He can recall that moment when you were sitting in your chair that he spoke to you, and you can bring that up at that moment and say, "I know what to do because I took the time to epoxy my britches and hear what God had to say, and now I understand what it is I'm to do in this situation." Because he's equipping us. He's building us into the place that he wants us to be, because today you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's not building a building made by hands, but he's building a place where his glory will be far greater than any glory of the former house. It'll be far greater than anything we could ever remember or recall or think of. And the journey along the way is where we get to fellowship with him. We get to receive from him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, I'm going to finish up with this. Well, let me just read this briefly. I know you all know these things, but just a reminder, the foundation of the message, of course we know it's prayer, fasting, worship, assimilation of the word, but really we have maybe seven keys, seven pillars, whatever you might want to call them. Just think of this for a moment. Meditation of the word, praise and worship, especially in private times, praying in tongues, confession of his word, waiting with God, hearing God's voice, fasting, and co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. Now, when I look at those things, I can pick out my favorites. And the things that my go-to, my default things that I like to do. You know, praying in tongues. I love to pray in tongues. I love to spend time just allowing the Holy Spirit to pray for me. I like worship pretty well. So I'm like, "God, I'll do that. How about this? I'm going to pray in tongues for an hour and I'll worship for an hour." That ought to do it, right? I'm good. You know, so we do that for a while. But, you know, as Dave told us, you pray in tongues long enough, he's going to deliver you unto those other things. Pretty soon you're praying in tongues. It's not as much fun as it used to be because he's saying, hey, I want you to get into the Word. You're like, well, I want to pray in tongues. But the more you pray in tongues, the more he says, get into the Word. You're like, but I'm trying to pray in tongues. So something happens. We either quit praying or we'll change. So what I want to encourage you is, as we're doing the work, at least on purpose, do something that is difficult for you to do. Do something that is not as comfortable as others. Because for me, I'll just be honest with you. I'll talk about me. I don't really enjoy reading that well. I can read, but it's not my favorite thing to do anyway. So typically people give me a book, I say thank you, but I'm probably not going to read it. Not trying to be rude, I'm being honest with you, because if I'm going to have to read, I might as well make myself read the Bible, because if I'm not reading that much anyway, it ought to be the Word. And so for me, that's not my favorite key, meditating the Word. But you know, when you begin to do it, fortunately, we can pray in tongues while we're meditating the Word. And the Holy Spirit is our helper. And this is what I'm talking about when I say we have to learn to walk in the Spirit. By the flesh, you can start out doing some of these things and forcing yourself to do it. But if you'll rely on the Holy Ghost, He'll actually help you do it to where there's a grace upon your life and you're able to accomplish those things. And it's no longer a hard task, but it's something that you're receiving life from. It might still be difficult for you to do it, but there's a grace that the Holy Spirit has on our life that will help us in all things. He's our helper. He's not just our helper when we're in trouble. He's our helper. When I think of a helper, like I said, I've spent most of my life doing some type of secular work, running phone lines and doing those types of things. And I've had, at times, helpers. There's some good helpers and some bad helpers. But anyway, here's my point. If you're not doing anything, you don't need a helper. I mean, honestly, if you're not doing anything, what do you need a helper for? A lot of times, and I'll tell you, the Lord said that to me. Because a lot of times, there were times in my life when I sit there, I'm confused, I don't know what to do, I'm scared, and I'm like, help me! And the Lord would be like, well, what do you want to do? Or He'd say, I told you what to do. That's even worse. Because you're like, you go, but no, help me. Help you what? Help me get out of this. He's like, I already told you what to do. And see, oftentimes, and it's good to it's a good prayer. Help me. It is. But if you're not doing anything, you don't need any help. And so, if we're doing the work, He's our helper. And so we don't have an excuse. You might say, well, you know, I can't do that. Well, there you have a helper. You can do it. So I've tried fasting. I can't do it. You have a helper. I've tried meditating the Word. I can't do it. He's there to help you. He's a helper. Along with that, you have DaveRoberson.org. And there's a lot of help there. There's a lot of help there. Some of the things that I was planning to go over today, I went to the website, got out the Born Again Trail. I wanted to make sure. I wanted to verify. This is really right. This is really what the Lord is saying. See, we have the resources available to us to do the work. You're not alone. God says, I'm with you. And He is with you. But we also have every resource available to us. We're in a time when we have YouTube, we have the internet, we have the church. You can come here and receive. Here, the doors are open throughout the week. The hours are posted on the door. You don't have a place to pray, come here and pray. It's time to do the work. of course, it's always been time to do the work, but I believe this is a time that as we do the work, we can know a little better what we have ahead of us. And again, it's nothing new, but just a reminder, the glory of God will fill this place. Hallelujah. The latter glory be far greater than the former. Hallelujah. A reminder of where we're going. A reminder of the importance of the work. Glory to God. Horbasidin diriasa chioda boku tula maradande. If yindriasa kela. If yenda. If yandro kujanda la boroko. Yokasa bafwanda. If yenda la boro soto. Don dela maracasta diriasa dela. But indria kanda leando rocostan gesta. And yenda la quata. And yenda la quata. And yenda la quata. And yenda la quatala. Onista. And yista la boquasam bofwanda la basa de yese quachata la bafwakan. Deza loto. Rongo zambava zita la makaya ye sahata la moro kwande for ambini asatala anila soko shinde la bafwaka eta manda zeda doro kwande diasta tela kundra bafante testa. For do not think that I am not aware of who you are or what you are going through. Do not think that I don't understand the difficulties that you face. But know this, I am with you. And I am opening up a place in my spirit that has been open for you. And you know that it's there, but I'm inviting you to come with me. Come into a realm where you can see what I see, where you can hear as I speak, where you can go where I have you go, and where you are able to reside in a place that is outside of time. For don't think that I'm not aware of the constraints that time puts upon you, but understand that there's a place in me, in the realms of the Spirit, where it's outside of the confines and the stress and the things that try to hold you into a time frame. And understand that there's a patience that's available unto you as you enter in to a realm that is unknown, that is unseen. You can find the things that you need for your life. The building materials are there. Amarasukur babanda diazanda diasta chede kitandela. O mafande diista chande diista kotontra bafakala. Yeah. So now, put aside those things that you know are of this world. Those things that occupy your time that you know. And come in those times to me. And you will see that I will open up a realm to you. And you can practice being in my spirit. And I will lead you. I will be with you. And I will help you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Korosita riyandala mafasandala. Praise you, Jesus. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you this morning for your encouragement. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your reminders that you are with us, that there is an unseen realm that we can participate in. And so, Holy Spirit, help us. Help us in our everyday life. Help us to remember you. Help us to set aside things that are not of you. Help us, Lord, to walk in the realms of the Spirit, that we might receive your grace, your power, your strength to do the work, to see your will fulfilled in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Hopefully you're encouraged and reminded, and don't forget, be back here at 10 o'clock. You guys are dismissed.